This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The old barbecue with some propane, you might still be able to celebrate and kick up your heels eventually, because they say it's going to be like the roaring 20s. The stock market is on fire in the U.S., and crypto is also rallying and is through the roof. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, how's it shaking in whatever nook, cranny, or crevice you hail from? Hopefully you're doing well. It's interesting because there still is a lot of conversation, the buzz in the land, about vaccines. Did you get vaccinated? I'm not getting vaccinated, but you got vaccinated. What does it all mean? And the talk of herd immunity has kind of died down, but there's a lot of knocking on the doors to try to convince people to get the vaccine. There are even some companies that are offering all kinds of crazy incentives, but boy, for our friends in India, could it get any worse? The forecast is 1 million deaths, maybe by August. 1 million. The coronavirus wave has plunged that country into the world's biggest health crisis, and it can get worse, and they say it will get worse as they look at the mathematical model to predict how many deaths will occur and when it will happen. So the Indian Institute of Science in Bangalore has been calculating it, and the model that they're coming up with says over a million deaths, maybe even by the end of July, but certainly in the beginning of August. And you just feel for these people, the suffering, the toll it is taking on so many there. And the health challenge, and how can other people help? The outbreak is crazy. The long lines outside crematoriums and hospitals turning away ambulances. It is a horrible sight to see. And you think back to New York, and you think back to the East Coast, and you think back to the wave that first hit the U.S. over a year ago and what that was like. And it pales in comparison, maybe in the end, compared to what's happening in India. In the meantime, it is really crazy that we have shortages of certain things. Like, there's a chicken shortage going on. It's true. Restaurants can't keep up. We really do. We really do have a chicken shortage. And we really do have chlorine tabs that are going to be like the toilet paper scenario. And the same thing now with propane. But in the meantime, like I mentioned, the Dow jumped 300 points, hits another record close ahead of a key April jobs report. So if this is a gauge to the pace of the labor market recovery, it's looking pretty good, because this is one day, the number that I just said, is one day before that jobs report gets released. And economists polled by Dow Jones expect 1 million payrolls to have been added last month. The unemployment rate is expected to fall to 5.8% from 6%, so slowly going in the other direction. Technology sector earnings, the momentum relative to what the bigger market picture is, peaked in May of last year. But now as we look at what's going on with the economy and we look at what we're where we're dominated by and looking at the financials and the sensitivity economically, that's starting to leverage out and it's showing an economic recovery, if that makes sense. So, again, the good news is this going to be the new roaring 20s? And people are seeing a swing in the opposite direction. The pendulum is starting to come back, so that's great. In fact, I saw a headline today that just made me laugh out loud. Traffic jams returning. Oh, bummer. Traffic jams. Yeah, that's a good thing. That's a good thing because that means that people are feeling like they can crawl out, especially in New York, because it was like a ghost city. But people are on the move. You know, all five boroughs in New York, and you do have to gauge a lot by New York. It's our biggest city. And with the weather improving, cars, SUVs filling up the roads, the MTA says traffic is about 10 to 12% less than before COVID hit. But it's showing that it's getting up. And ridership is still down when you look at those lines because all things move around the trains, right? So it's down since last March, but a lot of people are getting into their cars. So people are maybe afraid to be exposed to the virus by jumping on the trains and being underground on the subway, but more people are out driving and getting their cars out, and they're doing that, and they're going back into Manhattan, or they're going for a drive, or they're headed to work. So more people are headed back to work. That's what it appears to be. All right, some good news for people who have gotten the vaccine and want to make sure they're covered when it comes to the variants. So Moderna announced this week that data from an ongoing trial of its COVID-19 vaccine booster found it was effective against variants of the virus, particularly the B1351 variants, which was first popped up or first identified in South Africa, and the P1 variants that came up in Brazil. Remember how deadly that was? They say a single dose of its vaccine given as a booster to prevent fully vaccinated individuals increased neutralizing antibody responses against both variants. So pay attention to this, because booster could end up being what happens, and I would not be shocked by that in the U.S., that you got to get a booster. And is this going to be something that happens every year for those that are partaking in it? So the number that we now talk about is 149.5 million have been vaccinated in the U.S. What does that cover? That number hasn't changed very much. It's 55.9% of the eligible population, 16 and older, and 45% of the total population. Thus, the press to knock on doors and get people who are vaccine hesitant to want to be able to get a vaccine. But how many of those minds can actually be changed? The latest poll I saw is maybe 0.5% out of 4. So, you know, less than 1 out of 4 who say they won't get a vaccine will suddenly change their mind and go and get a vaccine. All right, coming up on the flip side, Governor DeSantis and voting in Florida, a milestone of sorts, good or bad, you decide next.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us.
That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure, jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
This is sponsored by Amazon. If you're looking for ways to make healthy meals this summer while staying budget conscious, check out online grocery delivery from Amazon. Amazon Fresh is your grocery destination, from fresh summer fruit to snacks, meat, seafood, beverages, baby food, and more. It has everything you need for everyday meals to summer barbecues. Plus, if you're a SNAP recipient, you can access Amazon's low prices, vast selection, and convenient home delivery while using your benefits with no minimum spend or membership required. Nancy Dalton, Amazon spokesperson, discusses the importance of access to healthy and nutritious food.
Amazon understands the importance of food accessibility and is committed to helping all customers access fresh groceries. SNAP recipients can use their benefits to purchase nutritious, fresh, and high-quality ingredients, as well as staples for their families, all while saving money and time.
SNAP recipients can also access exclusive deals on popular brands like Happy Belly, 365 Everyday Value, Honest Diapers, and more. To learn more, visit Amazon.com/SNAP.
After 70 years, that's why he goes there for, to unlock the door. All those around him criticize and slave.
So we did a wonderful bill signing for this great elections bill, and it was live on national television on Fox and Friends, and we were happy to give them the exclusive on that, and I think it went really, really well. But that's broadcast to millions of people, not just in obviously throughout the whole country, but a huge number of people in Florida are watching that. We had a crowd. We probably had 1,000 people in the crowd that were really cheering on. So it was an exciting day to be able to do that. And it was the first bill signing I've ever done live on a national broadcast. And so it was good. We also had a great visual aid that we were able to show, where we're showing all the great things that are in the bill. And, you know, some of this stuff that was going on in other parts of the country, where you'd have these big private groups come in and spend hundreds of millions of dollars to run elections. That is unacceptable. We are not allowing that in Florida.
All right, so you heard it. DeSantis ditches everybody except for Fox, signing new voter restrictions into law. And he has a Trump group really rallying around him when he was live on TV doing that. And you've got a lot of conversation about thumbs up or thumbs down. Is this suppressing the vote, or is it making sure the vote is counted correctly? There's going to be less drop-offs and not as much availability in other ways to be able to, in Florida, take advantage of what has been there in the past, which is what he's saying is closing the loop to what could be tainted voting. So he said the measure was necessary to shore up public faith in elections. Critics accuse him of trying to make it harder to vote, especially for people of color. Where do you stand on this, fair or foul? I got a ton of email on this, so we're going to the mailbag next, and it is, as you can imagine, a mixed bag. I love this show for many, many reasons, but because it is power to the people. So whether you're left of left or right of right or somewhere in between, you have a voice, and you can always hit me up 24/7, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. It's always interesting to me when I have people who email me where the family split. Someone is digging their heels in. They hate DeSantis. He's a jerk. He did this. He did that. And then the other side of the house is saying, yeah, baby, this is awesome. It's got to be interesting conversation at the dinner table, if there is a dinner table after that. But what's interesting is he said it. He delivered it on Fox and Friends, and that was it. So everybody else was shut out the rest of the media. It makes Florida the latest state to impose new voting restrictions or hurdles or whatever you want to call them, following Georgia, Montana, and Iowa. The Texas House took up a similar measure as well. There are other states, including Arizona, Michigan, and Ohio, who are considering their own bills. Basically, what DeSantis is saying, the reason for it, and some of the other states that have done this, he's saying it would prevent ballot harvesting and the stuffing of ballots into unmonitored drop boxes, and, you know, that could not happen. He said, we're not going to let political operatives go and get satchels of votes and dump them in some drop box. But it is true, this already was prohibited in the state, and there isn't any evidence, for as far as Florida is concerned, that they happened there last year. So DeSantis was pushing, though, hard for the new law, and he arranged for the setup on, you know, Fox and all of that. And it's interesting, it comes on the heels of Republican leaders, and we talked about this on the last show, moving to boot Congresswoman Liz Cheney, the House Republican conference chair, from her leadership spot after she said that Trump's false election claims incited the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol, and that lies about the 2020 vote are poisoning our democratic system. And in Utah last weekend, Senator Mitt Romney was booed heavily. I mean, this is Utah, his territory. He was booed heavily at a state party convention for similar remarks, really rebuking the former president. And people, he paid the price. People in Utah, like I said, booed him at that convention. So Florida's measure adds, you know, now again, more hurdles to voting by mail, restricts the use of drop boxes, and prohibits any action that could influence those standing in line to vote, which voting rights advocates say is likely to discourage nonpartisan groups from offering food or water to voters as they wait, which is true when you go to vote. You know how there is that food or water or whatever there is. I've seen that at some of the places in the past where I've voted. Of course, it's been a while since I've seen that, where I've seen actually those kinds of things happen. You know, last couple of times I voted, it was swish in and swish out, and I didn't have lines or had to deal with anything of that sort. I think the tug of war over voting and what's working, what isn't, is going to be around for a long time. You know, if you look in November, more than 4.8 million Floridians, so more than 40% of the fall electorate, cast mail ballots, including Republicans. See, this is the thing. And in Florida, you have a big chunk of older population. A lot of them, especially with the pandemic, voted through mail, Republican voters. So it's odd. In one way, it could be these restraints or constraints or whatever you want to call them on voting by mail could, one, produce longer lines in-person voting, and you wonder if that's going to stop, that's going to hurt Republicans because of how many would have done the mail-in vote thing. So, I mean, he said, your vote is going to be cast with integrity and transparency, and this is a great place for you know, democracy. Wouldn't you think in the U.S., could we just not have these? Wouldn't it be great? I mean, it's like we're a banana republic. Can we just not have it? We can do all these insane things. We have the most, some of the most brilliant people on the planet in the U.S., but we can't just have something streamlined. We can't just end that argument, like figure it out so that we don't even have that argument, that that's like, okay, well, we got that. We nailed that. No matter who you're voting for, no matter what party you're with, poof, you don't have to worry about that. That is, whew, that's almost like 100%, which is, what is 100%? That's crazy, right? Yeah. So anyway, when we jump into the mailbag in our next segment, like I said, many of you sounded off on that, so we will definitely hit that up. And a couple of other things, too, as well, including what's up with some of the things that have happened with the virus, and also what's going on in Arizona with the recount. We have a lot of people listening to us in the great state of Arizona, and there is a big pushback against the Justice Department's big concerns, and there is a possible clash over the Maricopa County recount that's happening in Arizona. So Arizona officials involved with that Republican-commissioned recount of the November presidential election in the state's largest county are brushing off any of the concerns by the Justice Department. And the person who heads up the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division wrote a letter to the president of the Arizona State Senate on Wednesday of this week, suggesting that the recount of nearly 2.1 million ballots in Maricopa County by a private contractor might not comply with federal law, which requires that ballots be securely maintained for 22 months following a federal election, saying that we have a concern about the records because it has to be retained and preserved, and it's no longer under the ultimate control of election officials, and it's not being adequately safeguarded by the contractors, and we're at risk for damage or loss. Right? You think voting's not a big deal in the U.S.? If more people would vote, right? The vote, if you look overall at the amount of people who are registered to vote and who vote, oh, we're pathetic in this country. We're not even batting 300. We're lame. We're lame-os when it comes to that. And I wonder how much that would change some of the things that we're what we're seeing. But for the purposes of talking about Arizona, I mean, there has been an interesting argument and backlash about it. And, you know, they're talking about the ballots at the Arizona Veterans Memorial Coliseum in Phoenix are being guarded 24 hours a day and aren't in danger. They aren't in danger. Wow. Head to the mailroom. Meet you there.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Biden is trying to convince Republicans to vote for his infrastructure and jobs plan during a trip to Louisiana.
When you build better roads, or extend the train line over to the next town, or install reliable high-speed internet. It sparks new life and investment in communities. It gives people hope.
Republicans are showing reluctance at the plan, with the price tag nearing $4 trillion. The president said, though, he is willing to negotiate. Authorities in Rigby, Idaho, say that a teacher disarmed a sixth-grade girl who shot two students and a custodian at her middle school. After the shooting, parents were directed to a nearby high school to pick up their children. Police say they now have the girl in custody and that the injuries are not life-threatening. They say they're investigating a motive and also where she obtained the gun. This is USA Radio News.
Americans all over the country are pausing at this time for the National Day of Prayer. From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, John Clemens reports.
This National Day of Prayer comes at a time when countless Americans are concerned about the dangerous change in direction we're witnessing. It was former President Donald Trump who reminded us of the words of Dr. Billy Graham, "Their prayer is the key that opens to us the treasures of God's mercies and His blessings." Mr. Trump went on that prayer has always been at the center of American life because America is a nation of believers.
Pfizer is donating doses of its coronavirus vaccine for athletes participating in the Tokyo Summer Olympics. The company is signing an agreement with the IOC to give doses of shots beginning July 23rd. Officials saying the donation is another part of their efforts to help make the Olympic and Paralympic Games safe. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
What? Pick in the mailbag.
All right, thanks for all of your thoughts on everything from A to Z, including the sixth grade girl who opened fire in an Idaho middle school. Terrible. Hostages held inside a St. Cloud, Minnesota bank. And what happened with Governor DeSantis and the bill that he signed on TV and then celebrated locally in Florida. So what happened there and what you thought about it. Let's jump to that one first with a couple of you sounding off on that. More than a couple, but a bunch. But I picked out a couple. This one is from Tom, who says, "Kate, I think DeSantis was right to clamp down on all the nonsense and the arguments and the crap that happens in Florida, going all the way back to hanging chads. Why not put an end to it and say, let's end the shenanigans and be tougher about what you have to do to go and vote? I mean, let the people through, but let's be transparent about it, for God's sake. It makes complete sense to me." And then from Tom, we go to Michael, who's listening to us in West Virginia, and he said, "Kate, thank God I live in West Virginia, not the Sunshine State. I think DeSantis is an idiot." And, of course, he shuts out the rest of the media just to add to, "Oh, Fox, oh, Fox, oh, Fox." Not that I have anything against them. In fact, in my house we have it on for several of the shows. But this whole idea that stopping ballot boxes and ways that people can vote through the mail and it's going to somehow make the elections clean is just utter nonsense and grandstanding. And then we have this one that came to us from Summer, who says, wow, could there be a bigger divide in my house about DeSantis and his takeover of the airwaves and his idea of what an election law should look like? I think his new restrictive bill is a blatant attack on the right to vote, especially of people of color. My husband disagrees, and he thinks it is a much fine line, stricter way to look at voting and to have more transparency and less shenanigans. So good for Ron DeSantis, he says, and I say boo, but pretty much we're on opposite sides of the fence. Yeah, so there you go. What do you think? And not just Florida, but other states, and Texas, of course, is also in line considering something very similar. Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. All right, this one we haven't even talked about. This one is from Michelle. I have a daughter who's in sixth grade. It made me sad to hear that a sixth grader took a handgun out of a backpack and started shooting in the hallway of her middle school, and it only stopped because a teacher intervened. There was an adult and two students that were injured as she shot before getting out of the school and shooting another person. The people are going to survive, Kate, but boy, what a blow to the people at that school and kids who were gripped by terror when they had to cringe and hide and from a fellow student who was only in sixth grade. What could drive a young girl to do that? Yeah, sad story. And indeed, they haven't released anything related to, well, this is what we believe the motive is. It is the worst nightmare any school district, any parent, any kid could ever face. I mean, they prepare for it, but are you really ever truly prepared for that happening? I mean, thank goodness for the female teacher. The female teacher took the handgun from the shooter and held her until they apprehended her. So they're investigating how the sixth grader from the nearby city of Idaho Falls got the gun and what motivated her to attack, to carry out the attack. You had kids crying, you had kids hiding. I mean, just the worst nightmare that you can possibly imagine happening, and then not knowing what's going on and just hearing there's a shooting, there's a lockdown, and then going from there to see what's happening if your child is at that school. All right, bank robberies and hostages. You know, you see it in the movies, but imagine you're stuck in that situation for a second. Just think of being in a bank and that happening. And this did happen in St. Cloud, Minnesota, and I got this one from Dennis, who said, I don't live too far away from, Kate, that bank that had, you know, a hostage and had police trying to negotiate a release. And boy, that really went on for some time. It was all over the news. It was live reporting, and there was a female hostage that was waiting to get released outside the front door of the bank. And then there was, you know, at one point on camera, a bunch of cash that flew out the door and bills were floating in air on camera, what seemed like for at least a second or two. Yeah, you know, the details that I heard about that is that there were several bank employees that were being held hostage. It was Wells Fargo, you're right about that. And they were negotiating to get the release of the hostages. The FBI stepped in, and 6 hours into the standoff, to free all the hostages, and four of them were released at, you know, 8:30 or so at, you know, PM. There was a video that showed that there was a woman that was waiting to get released, and there was someone inside that threw cash out the door, and a short time later, another hostage was released and led outside, and the two videos showed a third and fourth then eventually walking outside of the bank, too. Just no reports of injuries and all that kind of stuff, but, boy, traumatic. Of course, traumatic for customers, traumatic for the employees that are in the bank. And, you know, they had armed squad cars. I mean, they had squad cars and armed vehicles and all that, the things that you can imagine that would go along with any kind of a standoff with the SWAT teams, you know, et cetera. And then it goes back to that same thing. You know, what drives somebody to do that? What is it? What is it that leads to that? All right. And then this is interesting. And I got this one from Brian. Kate, a Chinese rocket could be flying out of control, which it is, and it could end up in your backyard. Have you heard about this story, and what do you think the expectations are? Well, let me look in my Magic 8-Ball. Magic 8-Ball, is a chunk of the Chinese rocket going to land in my backyard? Oh, it says ask again later. You are right about that in all seriousness. There is a rocket that's falling back to Earth. It's going to crash sometime on Saturday, and they say it could strike an inhabited area. Where it's going to hit, they cannot pinpoint it until hours with when it reenters. Then they can pinpoint it. So what's happening is the Pentagon, et cetera, they're going to watch the rocket's trajectory, and they're aware of it. They're tracking it, and then they're going to track the rocket debris in case it hits in the U.S. It is frightening to think of that, though, right? I mean, that's potentially not very good. That you think discarded core rockets, first stage rockets, I mean, they plunge to the sea after liftoff. They don't go into orbit like this one did. So what you look at the core rocket, I mean, the core rocket stage is like 16 by 109 feet, and the rocket has four boosters. So, I mean, where does it land? We don't know. I mean, that's it. You can make predictions. Could hit the Pacific Ocean near the equator, passing over the eastern U.S. It orbits an area of the planet from New Zealand to Newfoundland. But at this point, they're looking at the rocket's speed, when it possibly could fall to Earth, you know, that whole thing. But again, until it's closer, they can't pinpoint it as well as they would like to pinpoint it, right? And somebody asked the question, has this happened before? And the answer is yes. Last year, part of a Chinese rocket, one of the biggest pieces of uncontrolled space debris ever, passed directly over L.A. and Central Park in New York before landing in the Atlantic Ocean. Mm-hmm. And that 18-ton rocket that fell last May was the heaviest debris to fall uncontrolled since the Soviet space station did in 1991. There's some factoids for you. Look out for that rocket. So we'll see. You know, we'll see where it ends up. Yeah, there you go. All right, and one last one. We have a lot of people listening to us in Alabama. And isn't this interesting? Because the argument over medical marijuana and just small amounts of marijuana, that's another frontier where some states are open to both and some states have voted them in and others are saying no, no, no. Well, this happened, and I got this from Haley, who said, thank God for Alabama and medical marijuana, because I know somebody who desperately needs it, and I think it will help them with the cancer that they're suffering with, Kate. So while I don't partake in smoking marijuana, why not let somebody who can benefit from it be able to use it? It's going to be regulated anyway. And it's true. So the Alabama legislature gave final approval to that bill that would create a statewide medical marijuana program following a couple of big votes, a House debate that went on for 2 days. They voted 68 to 34 to approve the measure. Boom. I mean, that's it. You know, you had advocates and you had others who were not for it, but it goes. So medical, and this is medical marijuana. Stay with us. We're talking to Paul Ellison across the pond next.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $50 on our popular 4-week emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $50 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I got a bad case of loving you. No pills on.
All right, this time we go over to the UK for a conversation with Paul Ellison. He's written a book called The Element Welders. And I discovered that Paul and I have something in common. We both like golf, and we haven't played. So we have an excuse when we go back and we don't shoot so well. However, if he and I played together, I think he would cream me because I would be stuck in one of those deep bunkers that they have in the UK. And he'd eventually have to pull me out, and I'd end up probably buying the round at the pub again and again and again. So, Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem.
You know, the Element Welders came about, you were talking to me off the air, is the brilliance of this, is you had extra time. As much as we can complain about what's happened to all of us in the last year and counting, is that you used that time productively, so you used your imagination. Was it fun to write the book?
Hey, yeah, definitely. Especially coming up with backgrounds for each character and how to put each character into the story, and you know, it was a hard decision on which element to give each character. I mean, the main character myself, actually, I said to you that I named after myself. He was always going to be fire, but it was just like the thought process of right, which character is going to have which element. I didn't really put much thought into why I gave them this element. It was just that I wanted characters to have different and not everybody to be the same.
And what was the inspiration for the book? What, you know, what inspired you?
As I said to you off the air before, that I'm a big fan of the Final Fantasy franchise. So the book is loosely based on what goes on in those games. And that's the inspiration behind it, that I really enjoy those games, and I just wanted to give it a shot at writing something similar, but in my own way.
And so you write it in your, you write it in your own way, and you go on these, you take us on this journey, and it's really an interesting plot where we go down and then we go up. And so you really nailed that. And you said to me you have a favorite character, and naturally you named the favorite character after yourself. Tell us a little bit about the main character and the book. Give us a little sneak of what we can expect in the story.
Right, so the main character is named Paul, as you said, after myself. He was born on Earth, but they lived on a planet called Consistorium, which is actually Latin for Earth. And his father was also an element wielder, fire. The element passes down each generation, and his mother was a human. In the prologue, obviously their planet they live on is taken over. So Paul returns to Earth, where he lives with his uncle, and he has to go through life as a teenager in New York City. And as he goes to school, he meets all these different characters who become his friends. Some of them can do what he can. Others are just regular humans. The story is basically to start with the friendships that Paul builds with these characters, such as, I think one of the first characters he meets is Amy, and there's also Megan. One becomes his girlfriend, the other his friend. I won't say which is which. But yeah, it's just basically a journey through Paul's life, how he became what he became.
What do you hope people take away from reading The Element Welders?
I just want them to enjoy it, enjoy reading it as much as I enjoy writing it. And I just hope that like I mentioned to you before, I am writing a second and a third. So I just want them to, after they finish reading it, having really enjoyed it and be wanting more and looking forward to when this second does eventually become available.
Yeah, and you can get that, by the way, on Amazon, Paul Ellison's books, the first one and then eventually the second and the third, and I'm sure in many other places where books are sold. For you, do you have a ritual in writing? Is there just, you know, do you get up? Are you up early in the morning because you get these thought bubbles in your head? Or are you writing at night? When do you do it?
To be honest, you at the moment, when there's a football game on TV, I just put that on in the background and I sit and write. I don't do it through every football game. Every now and again, I write a chapter or half a chapter. Just depends how invested I am in the game that's on. But it's just basically I just have it on a football on in the background and I sit and write.
Yeah, I like that. A lot of times people use music, but you use football. Do you have a favorite team?
Yes, Doncaster Rovers, my hometown club.
Doncaster. Many people listen to us in the UK, and I'm sure they can relate to that, and they have their own favorite group of footballers. But in the U.S., you know, Ted Lasso is a program that was developed that has made Americans embrace more and understand in a way,
watched it, but I have seen the adverts, and it does look pretty funny.
Yeah, I love that's buzzing around in the background. I can just visualize that. Well, again, what a great story to tell, and 2 and 3 won't be far behind. Paul, thanks so much for joining us.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Interesting to talk to him about, you know, his novel and where he's at, and, you know, we look at this moment in time where he said, I have the time, and that's what we're finding with a lot of people. What are you doing with the time that you had in between? Hopefully you were safe and you were somewhere, you know, wherever you're listening to us from, and you did something that a lot of people did home improvement. A lot of people decided they were going to do projects they hadn't done in a long time and imagine writing books, you know, coming up with the ideas and finally doing them like he did. So bravo on that one, to be able to do that and take that time and focus on that instead of focus on all the things that were happening around us and when we're going to be out of this nonsense with the pandemic. All right, to re-rack a couple of things here at the tail end of this hour, I think without a doubt, one of the big things that we're going to be watching heading into the weekend is this Chinese rocket that might be hurtling back to the Earth that I mentioned, thanks to somebody who said something in the mailbag and something I was watching today about it, and it's not the first time it's happened. You heard me say that. Don't know where it's going to land. Could be just in a body of water, but we won't know until it re-enters the Earth's atmosphere. Then there's a better chance to be able to pinpoint that a little bit more. In the meantime, while that was going on, astronauts were answering questions after returning to Earth. This was a big deal. The SpaceX crew astronauts are back. You know, three Americans and one Japanese safely returning from the International Space Station. And that happened, you know, here they are back and talking on Sunday is when they came back in. And wow, what an experience. Listening to them was really exciting. One of them was mentioning that it was amazing to be floating and to see upright in the vehicle and then look around, see the Earth and a different orientation, and that activities weren't any different. And you know, these are NASA astronauts, and they talk about, you know, what was tough and what they prepared for and what they saw out the windows, and just so fascinating to hear. I think any time you get a chance to hear somebody that has said their breath has been taken away to see the stars, to see the Milky Way from their perspective, and they were talking about a lot of kinds of things like that. So pretty cool to hear that. I mentioned that Moderna is committed to tackling the virus variants, and they've had some success with this booster because now there's going to be a lot of conversation about, so you got the shot, so now what happens with these variants? And yes, that's the next stop in that. And then there is still, I think throughout the week, the conversation about the patent waiver, Biden's patent waiver, that will try to boost vaccine supply quickly, but it still could take months before the World Trade Organization agrees to temporarily waive patent protections and years before countries can produce the vaccines. So it may be sort of a moot point. Thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. Make it count, everybody.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.